Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
It's Absolute Radio Country. I'm Ben O, and I'm talking to a country music icon today, Shania. Welcome back to Absolute Radio Country. How are you doing? You good?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back.
So your new single, Dirty Rosie, it is so cool. It's got this sort of guitar in it that is a bit of a throwback to, I don't know, a bit of Sheryl Crow in there, a bit of 90s sort of rock, but you've got loads of genres going on. Is this kind of reflective of the new record? Because you think you said it's about your sort of teenage years, the sort of stuff that influenced you in those years.
Dirty Rosie is a good example, or, you know, a good representation of what really the rest of the album sounds like you were saying, as a mixed genre instrument arrangements. So in Dirty Rosie, first, the story is all about me learning to drive at 10 years old. That was in my dad's old red pickup truck that was a work truck and, you know, was a red truck at one time, but faded red, which Rosie, always dirty. Which is the way a truck should be. I would own a truck, but it would be used for work. I would be loading wood or, you know, pulling somebody else out of the mud, something like that. And then the bridge goes into really more about how I would have to scrounge money, you know, for the kids or for, you know, share with the neighbors, or, you know, there was no luxury such as a new truck or a shiny truck. And then there's a bluegrass group that sings the Bee Gees.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I pulled in this bluegrass group from Tennessee, the Mountain Grass Unit, and there were four of them, and they did, I said, we're going to do some sort of Beach Boy-esque vocal arrangements here. And that was very new to them. They're very pure bluegrass, but I wanted their bluegrass sound on those parts. So that's in the bridge. So I had a lot of fun. There's a lot of mix of sounds. The guitar you're talking about is a very much a throwback, more to the Southwest of the Marty Robbins kind of records. And that was T-Bone Burnett, who is
huge producer.
Incredible. He played that guitar.
It's so cool. It's I was sort of in it, if you know what I mean. I think people forget or don't talk about enough how much of an amazing songwriter you are. And I know Queen and Me, the last record, was very much like your early years singing in the bars and where you sort of had to sing. And firstly, two questions. Like, is it a kind of therapy for you? And where do you find the time to write songs? You must be so busy. Like, well, when are you literally writing them? Are you sat in your bed in the morning, or when are you doing it?
When do I find the time to write? For me, it's not as difficult as you might imagine, because I don't make as many albums as the average artist. I haven't had as many tours as the average artist. If you really look at other people's careers, because I make time to write.
Okay.
I want to write. It's me time. It is an indulgence. It's my joy. It's my escapism. I would rather write a song than read a book, even though I love to read. I would rather be playing with the language myself than reading the language. So it's my joy and my playtime, so I make time for it.
It's funny because so many artists sort of list you as an inspiration, like including Harry Styles and people like Taylor Swift as well. And I think it is the songwriting for me. That the songs, I mean, Come On Over, for example, is almost 30 years old. It'll be 30 years old next year. And again, I listened on the way in, and you forget every song. It's like, it's just song, like hit after hit after hit. I mean, what was it like writing that album? And did you know, like, and what was the intention as well going in? Were you like, we want to make a record that's just going to change the world? Because it did.
Definitely the intentions for Come On Over was not, you know, or at least the expectation or the understanding of having a clue that it would be as big as it was not there. But the idea of always to do better is just in everything that I do. I'm definitely going to want to outdo myself every time. I'm not competitive by nature, but I am with myself. I'm one of those solo game players. You know, it's like I'm a Pac-Man child. You know, I just want
to eat one up and get another one.
Yeah. I just want to beat my last score. Yeah, in Pac-Man. So that's really what it is. So, yeah, Come On Over was, I think there's work that goes behind it more than anything. You know, there's talent, there's work, there's time, there's commitment. And, yeah, the talent, sure, but the talent is something that you, by then, by the time you make an album like Come On Over, you've already developed your talent. It's not like, you know, you're going to notch up your talent. You already have it by then. So I think the rest of it is just a lot of work and being as thoughtful as you can and the intention of outdoing yourself.
Yeah. I love that record so much. It's by me as a songwriter as well.
Thank you.
Like, when you look at people like Taylor Swift, for example, though, and you see what she's doing now, do you think that, you know, you... Well, I know the answer to this question, but you were the first one really that showed everyone that it could be done. Do you think so? Like, you sort of took country and pop and then completely crossed them over and just said, you know, this is, you can do it. And then you look at Taylor now, and she's sort of walking in the path that you blazed, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Taylor has left everybody else in the dust in so many ways. But I would say that my country music... to pop, to rock, to now more even with Little Miss Twain, more of the blues side, and then there's bluegrass. And all of that comes from being influenced by people like Dolly Parton. There's not a lot of them. There's a small handful that really have done it. But Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers is another one.
Yeah.
And then they subsequently came together and then had another international hit. But... to make a whole career of that, for me, I think it was me sticking to my convictions that all of the influences of my live years on stage, being a cover artist, so that means from like the age of 8 years old on stage all the way to my late 20s, I'm the cover artist. So now I've done
all these songs. You know,
I've done every genre. Yeah. I've done, you know, piano lounges, rock bars, you know, variety shows, country, honky-tonks. So there's nothing that I haven't sung a lot that I've done as a cover artist. So I'm really, really, really familiar with all of those music styles, and it just became my style.
Yeah, because so, obviously you grew up in Canada, and I think you said there weren't horses, there were snowmobiles around.
I was dreaming of horses. Yeah. You know, this is just like Little Miss Twain. I dreamt of riding horses, you know, if I could have afforded it back then.
Yeah.
But I was driving machines with horsepower.
Yeah.
And that's as close as I got to a shiny mane.
You hosted the ACM Awards.
Yeah,
I was thinking about the greats you just mentioned, like Dolly and Kenny. And that speech you gave, you're wearing this amazing gold dress, firstly. And I got quite emotional because the world's quite crazy right now. We feel like the world's a crazy place. And you sort of gave this introduction. And, you know, I feel like that kind of craziness can come into country. It's quite divisive. People are saying, this is country, this isn't country.
Right.
That artist is this, that artist is that. And then you're calling out some of the names of the big artists of now, like Cody Johnson, Ella Langley, Lainey Wilson, and their faces. You know, even Cody Johnson, who's quite a cool kind of Texas, like, you know, his face just, a little smile at the corner of his mouth. He's like, Shania Twain is saying my name. And I just feel like you just reminded us all just to not take it so seriously and just have some joy.
Right.
I'm so fascinated to know, what do you think makes this conversation, just people so passionate about what country is and what isn't? What is that? Why are people... like that?
I think people just sometimes like to argue, you know. I just think people just like to, you know, the debate is good. It's fine. I think, you know, go ahead, debate the subject. But really, music needs to evolve. And if it didn't, my country music would still be honky-tonk angels, you know, Kitty Wells, I would still be writing that song. I didn't write that song, of course, but I wonder if even Willie Nelson wrote that song. I'm not sure. But anyway, the thing is, it has to evolve. It needs to evolve. So I think if you are an artist in any genre, and country music is no exception, go in with an intention of who you are as that country or pop or rock artist. So know who you are first. Don't just like say, I wonder what else is going on and where do I fit in? So it doesn't really matter what else is going on. You are what you are and whatever you feel you are. So my roots were always, you know, my grandparents' country, which was country and Western. So it was the Marty Robbins, it was the Kitty Wells and the Patsy Cline. And that, I think, just created grooves in me of, and a baseline. Now, from there, I'm introduced now to maybe a group like Bread or the Bee Gees.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, listen to all of these minor chords and these augmented chords, these changes that
isn't in country, really, at the time.
Isn't in country.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to play with that. And the time signature changes in bluegrass is so mind-blowing.
Yeah.
They don't even, like, bluegrass, it's so common to start the song really slow and then end up like a super fast speeding, you know, runaway train.
Yeah.
Whereas country is like steady, 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 right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I just like all of it. And so for me, my kind of country was what it was. And it could be argued that it wasn't really country, but it wasn't really country compared to what? My intentions were to just be pure to whatever my
And that's the reason I asked the question, because like, I was also wondering, you know, when you suddenly went global, stratospheric, and people always start questioning, like, oh, who are you really? Have you paid your dues? Do you know your country? And I see it with Ella Langley right now. I mean, I don't know if it's just because of Instagram and I see more comments, but the amount of, like, horrible things people say. And it's like, she's just doing her thing. And you were just doing your thing. You're still doing your thing with this new record. Yeah. You know. Do you give advice to artists like Ella? Is that a thing you sort of how to deal with that, or was it not as difficult back in the day without social media? When you have coming over, did you not get that hate in your face as much?
I do think there is more of a challenge now as far as the accessibility to being exposed to people's thoughts. It's best to make a choice if you're gonna read about the glory. You got to read about the gore.
And do you read the bad?
I don't read any of it.
None of it, okay.
Because I think you have to take the good with the bad. And you've got to be mature enough now at, you know, depending on what age, you know, the artist is, it's more challenge. It could be more of a challenge. But once you're an adult, you have to be mature enough to understand that in this time, you're going to be exposed, whether you like it or not, to the commentary. So what I do is I read responses to my own posts. My own interaction is where I engage. But I don't just engage. I just don't open up the floodgates and say, you know, let's just hear everything. I don't let that all get thrown at me, good or bad. So it's like I can learn that through the audience, through my own interactions, and that is reasonable, I think, so that you're not overwhelmed.
Yeah, I think also, like you just said, going on stage particularly, that's the real... Yeah, because people sat there going, it's so easy to be horrible, isn't it? But actually...
It is easy to be horrible.
Like, I saw you at BST last year, and I mean, I said the word joy already. It was so joyous. And I think people also talk about, I hope this is not impolite, but a lot of the noises you make... You make a lot of noises.
I grew up with Michael Jackson.
That's one bit.
He makes a lot of noise, right?
I don't know if you've just done You're Still the One, but you it was one of the songs you just done. You moved towards the massive tree on the Hyde Park BST stage, and you just went, wah!
I did?
And it was like, and I was like, I don't know what's going on, but I love it.
I think I'm just expressive.
Does it just come out of you, these noises?
It does.
Wow.
Yeah, it does. I'm a little, I don't know what it is, but I'm quite spontaneous, and I can be quite random, without explanation.
I'm here for it. I love it.
Maybe it's an eccentricity that I have, but you're not wrong. I do things like that in my My son and my husband do call me out on it with love. You know, they call me out on it with love.
Just lastly, country artists you're sort of listening to at the moment, and any sort of you're placing your bets on any new artists we should know about?
Well, I do love Cody Johnson. I think this is a very cool dude. And Ella Langley is got this folk country that I really love and that I've missed in the genre for a while.
And I mean, she's got so edge. She's so cool.
Yeah. She's got an edge, but she's got that folk to her. It's almost like listening is like as if it were Joan Baez doing country, because Ella's very country arranged. She's the instrumentation and everything is quite honky tonk.
Yeah.
But I really she's filling a gap that's been missed for a long time in country music. So I really love that. And I would love to see more variety still, even in country music. Like, where's the bluegrass? I want more bluegrass.
Yeah.
You know, I want to hear more of that.
I saw Nickel Creek a couple of years ago. You know Nickel Creek? They're a trio. And yeah, it's just that sound. You can't beat that.
Right?
And that I actually listened to, you did with Alison Krauss in Union Station
yes.
on your Live from Vegas one. And that 3-4 part harmony, you just can't beat that.
You can't beat it. And it's just, of course it's country. It's country bluegrass. It's like anything. It's rooted in country. And I would love to hear more of that kind of thing going on. So yeah, but we're on our way. I think we are spreading out a little bit more. I think we've been congested a little bit, and now that the windows are open and let some fresh air in.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.